When I was about 20 or so, I went with a group from my church. It's actually All Saints Linfield. That was the church I was in at the time, which we're partnered with. But anyway, I went with a group to Bulgaria. And we went to visit a Roma community in Bulgaria, and in particular, a church that was in the middle of this Roma community. And we were doing things like running a holiday club, and we were involved in a building project and various other things. But one thing that really struck me at the time was that this church was completely different to my home church. And these people were completely different to me. I didn't understand their language at all, and they didn't understand, most of them didn't understand my language. But they welcomed us into their church family with such warmth and such joy. And it made a huge impact on me at the time. It was amazing. It was as if we had a bond that already existed before we even arrived, that linked us together and that suddenly popped into being when we came. It was amazing. It was like we were a long-lost family just turning up on the doorstep. And then another time, I went on a family holiday with just my family, and we went to Wales to the Brecon Beacons, and there was a little evangelical church that we, on the Sunday, we went to that church to join in with their worship that Sunday morning, and we'd never met before. We were on holiday, we were there for one day, and they welcomed us with open arms. They were so warm and so loving. It was like, again, it was like we were a long-lost family just turning up at the doorstep. They welcomed us in. It was amazing. Do you know any other group, any other network, any other combination of people in the world apart from the church where that happens? I can't think of any. I want us to see this morning that the reason why that happened was that we're a family. We're a family. The worldwide church is a family. And actually, Denton Church, we are the family in Denton. We are the family here in this bit of the world. Well, how come? How can that be? And what does it mean? That's what this passage is all about. Have a look. Down, keep it, you don't need it right now, but grab it so you're ready, your news in the pews. I want us to look at this passage, this part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And it's right in the middle of the letter, and he's writing to this church in Ephesus, and he spends a whole load of time at the beginning, in the first two chapters, saying, this is who you are. This is you, who you are as someone who believes in Jesus. And he just piles up all these blessings, these amazing things that it means if you follow Jesus. And if you would like to be encouraged, just as an aside, if you want to be encouraged this afternoon, why don't you just read Ephesians 1 and 2. Find it in your Bibles and read chapters 1 and 2 of Ephesians. And it will just encourage you to keep going as a Christian. It will encourage you with all the blessings that you have. You've been chosen, you've been adopted, you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven, you have been taken from death to life, from slavery to freedom. It's just amazing. Have a read and be encouraged this afternoon. But anyway, he goes through these two chapters, and we get to verse 11 of chapter 2, and he starts talking to the whole church as a group, and it's definitely as a group. And he says, remember who you were so that you know who you are. He says, remember who you were before so that you know who you are now. I was watching a documentary the other day about a town in Massachusetts where there's a huge problem of heroin addiction. And it's just massive. It's everywhere. And this lady was being interviewed, and she describes her life as a heroin addict, and it was just horrific. Her children were taken away from her because she couldn't care for them. She would just hang out in this terrible, derelict former railway in squalor, living for the next high. It was just awful. But then she explained how she had been rehabilitated, And she'd kicked her addiction. And now she was clean. And she was married in a stable relationship. She was looking after her children again. And she was steady. And she said, and this is what she said. She said, "I know some people say my life is boring. Being responsible and everything, looking after the family and having a job. But when I look back at what it was, I wouldn't change it for anything." It was really powerful. And as she looked back with clear vision of what her life was like before, she could see how good, and she could say how good her life is now. And Paul, in this letter, he's saying something similar to these Ephesian Christians. He's saying, remember what it was like before. Remember how terrible it was, because you need to know what you are now. So what were they? Let's have a look. He's talking to these non-Jewish believers, these Gentile believers, and he says, look at verse 12. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Separate, excluded, foreigners, without hope, without God. That's what it was like. Can we have the picture? Hopefully. Maybe it's the next one. There we go. In Jerusalem, King Herod had built this temple. This is a model of it. And it's a really good illustration of what Paul was saying. Because he, in the very centre of the temple, sort of, it's actually at the back there, the tall building, tall sort of... With a tower bit on the top. That is the holy place. That is where God's presence on earth was represented. And then the courtyard just around that, on the right-hand side, that was the priest's courtyard and the Israelites' courtyard. And then the next one here on the left-hand side, that's the women's courtyard, the Israelite women's courtyard. But then all around the edge, outside the wall, outside that massive wall with the gates, that's the Gentiles' courtyard. And on the wall, on that wall, there was a sign, and it said, "No foreigner may enter within the barrier and enclosure around the temple. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. Trespassers will be executed." A Gentile could stand in this courtyard at the bottom or around the edge, and he or she could look up at the temple behind the wall, but they couldn't access it. They couldn't be a part of it. They couldn't be a part of the people of God at worship. And Paul says to these Gentile believers, that's what it was like for you before Jesus Christ came along. That is what it was like. And it's true for every single one of us, or it was true before we came to Jesus ourselves. You were shut out. You couldn't relate to God. You couldn't even relate to God's people. God's promises, they didn't apply to you. You had nothing to hope in, excluded and cut off. Lost and unforgiven. Do you remember last week we had a wall? If you were here last week, we had a wall down the middle, didn't we? Shutting off the people from God and the Gentiles from the Jews. That's what it was like. You were shut off completely before you became a Christian, before you trusted in Jesus. Do you remember that? I wonder if you can think back, if you are a believer in Jesus. Think back to what it was like before. Do you remember what it was like? Remember what you were, because look at what you are now. Just have a look at verse 13. This is amazing. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus has brought you near. Jesus has smashed down that wall that we thought about last week, and that wall that surrounds the temple. Jesus has smashed it down. The wall that keeps the Gentiles out. Jesus has made Jews and Gentiles into one new humanity. He's made everyone who trusts in him into one new humanity. And that one new humanity can come freely into the presence of God. So now there's just one way for anyone to come to God, and that is by trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news that Paul has for us this morning. But what does it mean for us as Denton Church? Well, it means that we are one. We are one. As Louis said last week, we are family. And we're part of this family by this one means, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that means that we, each of us, are equally valuable and precious in this family and in his sight. If you are a Jew or if you are a Gentile, then you are part of this family through Jesus. Whatever your social class, or whatever sex you are part of this family. Whatever your struggles or your disabilities or your age, you are part of this family. Whatever your race or your cultural upbringing or your education, you're part of this family. All these things, they divide the world up, don't they? And they divided us, they excluded us or included us into various groups before we knew Jesus. But it makes no sense for those things to divide us now. Because we are one. And there mustn't be cliques in our church, in this church, Jesus' church. I don't know about you, but it's really tempting, isn't it, to find the people who are like you to hang out with. It's really tempting for me to be close to people like me, who like similar things, who like to talk about similar things, who are like me, but that's not what church is like. Church is a whole bunch of different people who are united into a family by Jesus. And so, as with the Christian gospel all the way through, what you are shapes how you behave and how you live. So let's express that oneness, that family, by making an effort to welcome people who are different from us. Let's not just stick to the easy existing friendships and relationships we have. Let's forge relationships across difference, because we're already family. We're already one. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a video that I'd watched. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it, from Word Alive, by Rebecca McLaughlin. And in the same video that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, she said something else that is really, really helpful and powerful. She said, before lockdown, she never used to sit with her husband at church. She would always sit in a different place, and they would never sit together. And even to the extent that someone one day came up to her and said, is everything okay with you and your husband? Is your marriage okay? And she said to them, yeah, of course, it's fine. I love my husband and he loves me and our marriage is fine. But she wanted to live out the fact that church is family. That we're one. And she wanted to sit with newcomers and people she didn't know so well, because church is family. And I just wonder if that's something that you could think about. especially in time when we don't have to be distanced from each other. Sunday morning is the gathering of the family of God. How are you going to express that? How are we going to express that? And even now, even today, we're going to go outside and as long as it doesn't start raining, we're going to sing a song and then we'll be able to chat together outside. Could you speak to someone you don't know so well? Could you speak to someone who is new? Could you go across difference? Because we are one, we are family. This past year has been really strange, hasn't it? And for a long time we had to stop meeting all together, apart from online. But that, I want you to know that that was an absolutely last resort option for us. Because we are one, we need each other. And I'm just going to say a word into the microphone now, because we're recording this. To those of you who are still at home and who are listening at home, I really want to encourage you to come back to be with us as soon as you're able to. We need you. And you need us because we are family. And actually, those of us who are here, if there is anyone who we know who isn't here, but could be, why don't you encourage them? Could they come back? Are they able to come back? It'd be wonderful to see them. And just finally, for those of us who are here, we've had to split into two services. And it's really not ideal, is it? Because, well, apart from anything else, this service is missing most of the older folk. And the other service, at 11 o'clock, is missing all of the children. And we miss our family in the other service. And so again, as things open up more and more, can I really encourage you to stay behind after church, after the service is finished, for a little bit longer, to spend some time with those people who are coming to the others, to the 11 o'clock service. And as soon as we can, we do want to gather as one again. We are one, and we want to be one. And we don't know how we're going to do this, but we think it's really important. I'll just end with a little bit from this book, God's New Community. When you arrive at your church on a Sunday, or you walk into your small group midweek, why not look around at the people there and say to yourself, family, this is my family. Whether you know them well or whether you like them very much, tell yourself, these are my brothers and sisters. I'm united with this group. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have made us one in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have brought us near and you have united us together into a family. And thank you that as a family we have access to you. We have a heavenly Father who we can come to at any time. Please help us. Please help our imaginations to be won over and captured by this vision of oneness, of unity. And please help us to live it out, because this is who you have made us into. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.